The hottest product that flew off the shelves this holiday season wasn't a new game or electronic device. The must-have commodity that had consumers racing to the store is a cup. Yes, a large insulated cup with a handle under the brand name Stanley. Not to be confused with the trophy awarded to the NHL champion hockey team, the Stanley Cup has gone viral on social media with videos of Black Friday-like frenzies for special edition cups. They seem to be a good quality product, but the popularity of these cups seems to go way beyond their functional value. It's just the latest example of a long line of consumer crazes that seem to come out of nowhere and can fade away just as fast. Our next guest studies the social influences that drive these purchases and how consumers express themselves and their identities through products like these. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Now, have you seen social media posts or other stories about these Stanley-made cups? What do you think about them? Did you go out and get one for yourself, or was it on your gift list for somebody? Do you remember another product craze from the past that either you participated in or wondered why the heck everybody else was? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Catherine Dew is an assistant professor of marketing at UW-Milwaukee, where she researches consumer psychology and behavior. Catherine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you study these kind of consumer crazes. Now, do you kind of keep your distance, or do you get swept up in the wave when a new product like this comes along? Or do you feel like, you know, since you study it, you got to go out and try it yourself?
It really depends on the craze. I'm certainly susceptible myself, but other times I find myself resisting. So it's a mixed bag on my end. And I think that's true for a lot of consumers.
Now, with these cups, it sounds like they're perfectly fine products. But when we get something breakthrough as a fad like this, I assume there's something more going on than, yeah, it's a really good product. What is it that drives this kind of popularity?
I think there are so many factors contributing. I think the ones that are top of mind for me as a psychologist are, one, the motivating power of scarcity. They've leveraged scarcity-based promotions extremely well with the Stanley Cup craze, the immense way of social influence on human behavior, and also the idea of identity-based motivations, right? The idea, as you alluded to earlier, that products can really transcend their utilitarian value and come to represent something more that we can thus align with our identities and use to express ourselves. So I think in these crazes, typically a number of factors converge to really create the perfect storm of popularity.
Is there something just about, even if it's not a particularly expensive item, the idea that, as you mentioned, this is scarce, and by getting it, I can demonstrate to all around me that I have successfully obtained this scarce product. So I'm awesome.
Yeah. So while there are some limited exceptions, the literature on consumer psychology, by and large, finds that scarcity is a huge motivator of behavior. When something's scarce or limited, we tend to want it even more, right? That scarcity suggests that it has value. It's in demand by other people. And so then it also, in a way, becomes a status signaling good if you can get your hands on it, right? Because it is so difficult to obtain. And so that makes the product even more alluring to its target market.
Now, in my head, this is a social media thing going on, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But then I remember, you know, there were Beanie Babies crazes or Cabbage Patch crazes and things like that before there was social media. Pre-social media, how do we start to get this, I guess, feedback loop where people hear about this thing and then want to go seek it out, and that drives that scarcity even more?
I mean, human beings, even before social media existed, observed other human beings' behavior, right? Like, we are fundamentally relatively social creatures, right? Like, it's really been one of the mainstays of our survival as a species to be socially oriented, to seek approval from others, to observe what others are doing and conform to that or imitate it. So even before social media existed, there's always been crazes and trends because we're fundamentally social creatures. We're seeking to understand the norms of our social groups. We're seeking to belong into social groups. And so social influence has always been a factor, even when social media didn't exist.
Talking to Catherine Dew, assistant professor of marketing at UW-Milwaukee, looking at what drives particular products to become super popular, to motivate people to seek them out, maybe pay a premium for them. The latest example, these Stanley-made travel cups with the handle, and they're supposed to be pretty good, but they are just the latest in a long line of products. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have questions, if you have thoughts on how this happens, if you've seen products go viral on social media or pre-social media, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, social media, TikTok has been a big part of this Stanley Cup thing. I want to give a listen to one. This is a user on TikTok named Danielle Lettering posting a video of her retrieving an unscathed cup, one of these Stanleys, from the wreckage of a car fire.
Everybody's so concerned about if the Stanley spills, but what about the milk? Yesterday still has ice in it.
I question the physics a little bit, but a lot of people, a lot of consumers are volunteering to do publicity for some brands. Some of them aren't volunteering. They might make money off of it in some way. Apparently this one, Stanley is going to buy Danielle a new car and new cups along the way. How we join in and jump on bandwagons, not just to buy the thing, but to help promote it on TikTok and elsewhere. Can you talk about that phenomenon, Catherine?
Yeah, first of all, I love this car fire example because it shows the functionality of these cups, and consumers love having functional alibis for purchasing seemingly maybe frivolous things. So this car fire example was so good for them because it shows that it does function really quite well. And then that gives consumers a really good reason to buy something that maybe they don't 100% need. Back to your original question, you know, I think consumers spread word of mouth. They talk about products, they talk about their consumptions for so many reasons. A lot of it is kind of an impression management based motive. You talk about what you buy and consume to display a certain image of yourself. We kind of use products like props, right? They help us form who we are. They help us affirm who we are and express who they are. And so I think part of why so many people are willing to promote this on social media is because that product is then a prop for them to express their own identity.
Okay, we heard that clip. Now, the Stanley Company joining in from the brand's own TikTok account. Here's a listen.
Stanley is the GOAT of water bottles. The others are just trying to be Stanley.
I hear they only use recycled stainless steel.
I have two Stanleys, one in pink dusk and one in black glow.
I hear they even use them in Brazil.
Stanley's favorite is hydrating everyone.
One time, Stanley survived a car fire. It was awesome.
Brands, of course, have tried to jump on social media bandwagons to promote their own products with varying results. How do you see this working, Catherine? Stanley, I don't think, generated this craze, but they're seeming to try to jump onto it.
Yeah, they're certainly playing into the popularity in many ways through their marketing mix, and I think they're doing a relatively good job of that. I think a lot of the craze, though, has been so prominent because it originated from a somewhat more organic origin. Consumers are naturally relatively skeptical towards advertising and marketing, and we typically don't like to feel overtly pressured by brands to purchase. In fact, we often attempt to resist persuasion when we recognize that a persuasion attempt is occurring. And so the more organic consumer-driven forces can fuel popularity even more effectively than brands. And then brands can jump on those bandwagons with, you know, proper tactics and strategies like the example you've just played. So I think they've done a good job of tapping into the organic popularity without overriding it.
Bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Liz is with us in Lyons. Liz, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Liz?
I'm concerned on the other aspects of this. I saw a video where a girl, I think elementary school, wanted a Stanley cup to take to school, and her mom bought her one from Walmart, which is perfectly fine and functional. I don't care about those kind of things, and I don't think kids should have to care about that kind of thing either. But she took it to school, and the kids found out that it wasn't an actual Stanley Cup, and they, like, made fun of her and, like, you know, bullied her about it. Like, you can't afford it. I'm concerned about that aspect of it and why people are so concerned about name brand things.
Liz, thanks a lot for the call. Catherine, I don't think this is new. I remember people back in school in my day being made fun of for wearing, I don't know, the wrong pair of jeans or what have you. This goes to kids, and they're very conscious of these brand differences for some reason. Why?
Yeah, I think that kids are in a position in their life where they're socially really vulnerable, right? They're looking for social approval, and so they tap into brands as a means for that. And as much as brands can help us make social connections and belong with others, they can also help us ostracize others, right? They can also, as much as signal our in-groups, brands also create out-groups, right? And I do think that that's a concerning element of some of these trends, is that it can be affecting children's feelings of belongingness and self-esteem. So I certainly agree with that concern.
Liz, thanks for that call. We are talking to UW-Milwaukee marketing professor and consumer psychologist Catherine Dew about the popularity of these Stanley brand cups and how products like these and many others become the latest consumer craze and then maybe fade away in the future. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think random products become so popular? How about these Stanley brand cups? What drove that? Did you encounter social media hype about these things? Demands? Begging from your kids to have one to take to school? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with Catherine Dew. She's an assistant professor of marketing who studies consumer psychology at UW-Milwaukee. She's with us today to talk about how products become viral consumer fads, with the latest example being the popular insulated cups made by the company Stanley. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think products like these Stanley cups get so popular, these non-hockey-related Stanley cups? What questions do you have for our expert? Do you have some firsthand experience to report to us if you've seen the hype, bought into the hype maybe? Join in at 800-642-1234. If you work at a store where these things are sold or have seen similar crazes in the past, love to hear your perspective. 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. It seems like people are like Charlie the Tuna. They want to show they have good taste, but if they taste good, they'll be canned. As far as FOMO goes, it seems to relate to FOMO, but why isn't there a scarcity of FOMO?
Fear of missing out. Dennis, thanks a lot for the call. You know, at some point, Catherine, do we hit a saturation point where we have a fear of missing out, but then if everybody seems to have these things, does it seem special anymore?
I mean, in short, no, right? Once these products reach saturation, oftentimes that's when we see their popularity decline. The continued popularity versus decline of these hot products often relies on how many hands they're in and whose hand the product is in. Let's imagine, you know, kind of as we know, if lots of tough and rebellious people ride Harley motorcycles, then Harley becomes a symbol of that rugged identity. But if stuffy accountants and, you know, everybody on every corner starts riding a Harley, the meaning of the brand shifts, it changes, it gets diluted. And then those original users may say, well, why would I want this anymore? Then abandon the product, which allows them to avoid signaling some kind of unclear or undesirable identity. So research suggests that, eventually this gets saturated and these hot products typically face a decline when some, either too many people or kind of the wrong people, for lack of better words, get their hands on it.
Thanks for that call, Dennis, at 800-642-1234. Kelia joins us in Milwaukee now. Kelia, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
I coach gymnastics, so I have a lot of young girls around me every evening, and the latest fad is the Stanley Cups. They used to be the Hydro Flasks, but now all the girls lately have these cups with straws, and I just don't get it.
And do you see, like, do you see it catching on? Like, first one of them shows up with it, and then everybody else has to have it?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the way that the game works is you kind of coach girls years after year. So I see one fad happen and then the next. And I just ask them, what is the big hype about it? And can't really tell me anything other than everybody has it.
Yeah, I got to ask, with these girls, they have the Stanley Cups. Do they seem to work better? Like, are they good cups for young gymnasts or just as good as what they used to have?
I mean, honestly, we banned them because they kind of they leak if they fall over on the floor at a gymnastics meet or something. So it's not that they work better. I think it's really just who has the best colors and who has how many and who's got it and who doesn't.
Kelia, thanks a lot for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Now, Catherine, first of all, I mean, if I'm a smart marketing company, I'm going to call Kelia up right now to have my finger on the pulse. I mean, how do companies try to assess what the young gymnasts and other youth want these days?
Yeah, I think social media has made that a lot easier for them. I think they've been able to keep their pulse on these trends in much better ways without having to coach an entire gymnastics team because of that public consumption element that social media enables. So we are seeing them respond much more quickly to these trends than I think they had in the past. In the past, I think they had to actually have sort of trend spotters out there and have employees doing that kind of recon, if you will. So that's just given them one more tool in their toolbox to keep their pulse on things.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Catherine Du, assistant professor of marketing at UW-Milwaukee, about what makes a humble everyday product the big consumer craze like the Stanley-made cups are. Whether or not they're good for gymnastics class, I don't know. You could still join in at 800-642-1234. Catherine, I want to flip things around now. Now, kids, they're obviously exposed to a lot of marketing messages, either on social media or TV or at gymnastics practice or at school, whatever. Do you have thoughts on how parents can develop a media literacy for their kids and how to critically evaluate these claims they're hearing from marketers and their peers?
Oh, goodness. I feel like you'd have to. That's a huge show. Can of war. Yeah. Wait, how many hours do you have? I think parents keeping their pulse on these things, too, is really important. And then making their own individual decisions as to whether they want to allow their kids to buy into this, not, and how to manage that is really important. And so I think when parents are involved in social media as well, that helps them monitor these things. And also, I think maybe there's the added benefit that the more parents that are on social media, the less cool the social media becomes. But then the kids just find a new platform and the cat and mouse game continues. But
do you have thoughts on how parents, without making it seem uncool, can ride along on social media so that they're seeing what their kids are seeing?
Oh my gosh. No, I mean, I think I think that, I hear a lot of parents using sort of covert accounts simply to observe, but not really participate. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's how a lot of them achieve that.
I think we've got time for one more caller. If we get them lined up here. Oh, no, not quite ready. Okay. So Catherine, what are you watching for now? Eventually, this Stanley Cup craze is going to go away. What are you watching for as we watch for the next whatever it is to emerge?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not even sure. I think, honestly, it's all being driven. Well, almost all being driven by TikTok these days. So I think if you're on TikTok and you start seeing things pop up, there's a pretty good likelihood that that's going to be the next thing. I think that platform has delivered content in a way that really just triggers dopamine in people's brains and allows them to be exposed to so many different influencers. And it's just absolutely setting fire to trends. So I'm not entirely sure what it'll be, but I will tell you to watch TikTok, and that's probably where it's going to come from.
Okay, we got our last caller ready now. Jameson is with us in Black River Falls. Jameson, hi.
Hey, how's it going? I got a really quick question for you guys. So it seems like both Stanley and previously Hydro Flask are like within the camp of personalizations that can be brought into schools. I was curious if like the marketing companies are identifying these based off the fact that it's a personalization or based off the fact that it falls within a certain price criteria, right? Like they're both kind of like moderately accessible in like the $30 to $50 range, I'm assuming, but is it mainly because like high schoolers and middle schoolers can buy these things and bring them, or is it because they're moderately affordable?
Interesting. Jameson, does price point matter, Catherine, on a craze, a fad product?
I think you hit two things that they've done really well. I think they're offering a price point that, while accessible, is still a bit of a status signal, right? Like a lot of these teens may be able to save up, you know, a couple hours worth of babysitting money and afford a $40 tumbler. But $40 for a tumbler is still relatively expensive. And perhaps not all teens are, of course, going to be able to spend their money in that way. So they're hitting this nail on the head where it's accessible while still signaling status. And in terms of the customization, I also think they're really hitting the nail on the head. So research suggests that we're often looking for a level of optimal distinctiveness, meaning we're often looking to fit in with our valued social groups while still having things for ourselves, things to be unique. So a lot of times what you'll see people doing is buying similar products to their social groups, but buying it with a unique color or a unique customization. And that scratches that itch to belong, this kind of fundamentally ingrained need to belong that human beings have, while also scratching the itch that we all also have of feeling unique and expressing our own unique identities. So I think both of those things, the customization and the price point element, have been really well tailored and also fuel this popularity. I think those are two really interesting observations.
Catherine, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Catherine Du, a consumer psychologist and assistant professor of marketing at UW-Milwaukee, with us today to talk about the latest viral consumer trend of buying these Stanley brand cups and how products like these over the years rise and fall in popularity.